My guest at this time is Theodore Roosevelt Malik. He's the chairman and CEO of the Roosevelt Group. He is a former Yale professor and a senior fellow at Oxford University. He is the author of the brand new book, Hired, An Insider's Look at the Trump Victory. He was previously the author of Davos, Aspen, and Yale, My Life Behind the Elite Curtain as a Global Sherpa. He joins me now to discuss the Trump win and, more importantly, the upcoming Trump presidency. And Mr. Malik, thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be with you. Thanks.
Well, let's start by why you were on the Trump bandwagon from the beginning. You knew him before he decided to run for president. What convinced you, either based on his qualifications or based on the conditions in America, that he was the right man out of a very crowded field?
So indeed, it was a combination of those two things. On the one hand, I thought that a businessman turned politician was what America needed. So in a sense, we needed to go out and hire a chief executive officer to make America run again. And he obviously presented a resume that had that in spades. The other reason I think some of us turned to Trump early on was because we also believed that we needed an outsider, a non-politician, someone who could come from the outside and basically challenge the system. I guess the phrase that is used these days is drain the swamp. But someone who could do things differently, and it would turn the tables really upside down, change both domestic and international policy, which had languished so long.
How do you expect him to do that? There's a chapter in your book where you talk about common sense conservatism from Reagan to Trump. Trump's political views over time have not been quite as consistent as Reagan's, although he hasn't spent as much time in the political realm either. How do you expect him to go about it differently?
Well, I don't expect President Trump to be a political philosopher, but I do think that he has a good bit in common with Ronald Reagan in terms of his common sense mentality, his pragmatism, and also the notion of transactional leadership. I think that if you read The Art of the Deal, you can really come to understand how Donald Trump lives, thinks, and will negotiate America's place, again, both economically and in terms of its relations with foreign powers.
Who do you see him being most eager to negotiate with? Is it Democrats here? Is it foreign leaders in various hotspots? So what do you expect his approach to be?
Well, I think he'll be very busy because internally in the United States, he has to negotiate with members of Congress. He has to negotiate, frankly, with the Democrats to the extent they want bipartisan policies. That's not clear that they will move in that direction. But on things like infrastructure, that might present a possibility, and things like tax cuts, there are certainly Democrats who are willing partners. I think the interesting negotiations, however, will be externally. We all know about his attitude towards Russia, which, frankly, is more in the direction of detente than it is towards a new Cold War. I think that his relationship with Theresa May after Brexit and any other country, frankly, that moves in the same direction will be interesting to watch. And I would particularly invest in, and I believe he will, the U.S.-UK special relationship as a signal.
Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, you're the author of Davos, Aspen, and Yale. You spent quite a bit of time and with the folks who go to Davos and at the summit itself. That doesn't seem like the crowd that Donald Trump's all that excited to be with. So how do you expect the rest of the world to respond to him?
Well, indeed, I think the difference between Davos and the Trump inauguration, Davos just ending today, the inauguration tomorrow, presents us with a very vivid contrast. And you're quite correct in suggesting that Donald Trump will never likely find himself in that Davos global elite, moving towards one world government, moving towards all the kinds of environmental nonsense and moving towards a kind of status regulatory apparatus that is the antithesis of, frankly, much of what he campaigned on.
We're talking with Ted Malik. He's the author of Hired, an Insider's Look at the Trump Victory. Ted, Trump is used to negotiating. He's used to getting things done. In Washington, it's a different ballgame, obviously, with all the different hurdles and hoops and procedures that need to be done. It's more bureaucratic than he's used to. How well do you think he'll adjust to that, and how successful do you think he can be in that environment?
Well, I think it is a frustrating environment, and the political seesaw, the give and take is very different than the transactional world of Wall Street or the transactional world of running a big company. I think he's well suited, and he's certainly surrounded himself with a number of good people in his cabinet who have the wherewithal, who have the acumen, who have the business experience, and some of them the political ability to help him do those things. I would be, very observant of the first 100 days because I think he can accomplish a great deal quickly, in part by undoing the Obama legacy, by rescinding so many of those executive orders which need to be put in the drawer and sent back. And I think then really achieving some of the things that he suggested on the campaign trail he wants to do, whether that's around infrastructure, around the tax levels, both for individuals and for corporations, the inversion question. I think that on the economy in particular, you'll see a very active president in these first 100 days.
We're already seeing a very vigorous opposition, even at the point where before he is taking office. Now, you've known Donald Trump for some time. In our last couple of minutes here, I want to get your thoughts on him on the personal side. And you talk about this to some extent in the book as well. Perhaps a lot of people are responding negatively to him for a couple of reasons. Number one, they don't get him. They don't understand what makes him tick. So what does make him tick? What drives him? And in particular, what drives him to want this job?
Well, Donald Trump is a successful businessman. He's a billionaire many times over. He could, as he said on the campaign trail, just sit on his laurels and relax and go play in his own golf courses. What makes him tick, frankly, is his love of country. Donald Trump is a patriot. And when he says he wants to make America great again and take it into this 21st century, I said early on, it's very much like Theodore Roosevelt at the beginning of the 20th century in American nationalism. I think Trump actually sees the potential of America, does not believe that she's in decline, does not believe that she's on her last legs, but believes that America greatness can prevail.
And one of the other things you point out in the book that I think might even raise the eyebrows of a lot of people who ultimately voted for Donald Trump is you say, despite some of the brashness we see in his public persona, whether it's in speeches or on Twitter or where have you, you say he's not a narcissist and a bully. A lot of people are going to be surprised by that. Explain who you know him to be.
Well, certainly those are characteristics that have been lodged against him. And in some ways, he has brought some of those on himself, I think, with his demeanor during the campaign, which was over the top. But he's actually a very thoughtful, very reflective, excellent listening person who takes advice and who is able to analyze the situation. I said this in another interview recently. Donald Trump is the kind of chess player who is playing two or three moves ahead of you on the chessboard. He's that strategic.
Do you think that once he's president, we'll see that side of him more in public, or is that just something that he generally reserves for his private consultations?
Well, I think there are always public and personal personas of any individual, and president, all presidents have that same kind of divided nature. I think you'll see Donald Trump actually tomorrow in the inaugural address, taking on a much more presidential mantle. But don't forget that Donald Trump is an outsider. He is a maverick, and he's going to do things his way, whether that means using Twitter or that means going direct to the American public or if that means, carving out a new tagline to describe his policies. He's going to be a unique American president.
We'll certainly be watching. Last question. How does he define success, do you think, for this first term?
Well, I think he defines success as bringing back American economic growth. So I would say even at the two-year hash point in the congressional elections, we just finished an election, so nobody wants to think about the next election, but he'll be judged by the American public, and he's willing to be judged by how he restores the American dream, and particularly American economic growth, which he says is 3.5%, a really revived economy.
Ted, we'll call time there. Thank you, sir, very much, and enjoy the inauguration on Friday.
Good. Thanks, Ken.
Ted Malik, Theodore Roosevelt Malik, Chairman and CEO of the Roosevelt Group, former Yale professor and senior fellow at Oxford University, author most recently of the brand new book, Hired, An Insider's Look at the Trump Victory. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.